Our third feature this week comes from a contributor well known to listeners to Just Talk, David Clayton. He's been marking his 50 years in local broadcasting with a series of features, and this week has written about the start of BBC Radio Norfolk. Here is Jane Evans to read his article.
We had to wait until 1980 to get a local radio station hereabouts. I'd been perplexed as to why both commercial and BBC local stations had launched elsewhere, but not here. I became a disgruntled one-man lobbyist, and somewhere in this newspaper's archive is a stern missive from me to the EDP letters page, bemoaning our lack of local broadcasting. Then, the BBC announced it was opening one of a new wave of local radio stations in September 1980. I was convinced my experience at Hospital Radio Norwich stood me in good stead. It didn't. The few staff jobs went to others with journalistic experience, while I resigned myself to DJing along the busy summer coast. As commercial local radio vied with the BBC to expand, the Home Office oversaw the two organisations' ambitions. Usually, the BBC and commercial radio agreed where they'd open next and, so as not to clash and allow a station to establish itself, kept their launches geographically apart, until Norfolk. Both organisations really wanted to be the first, and neither would back down. In the end, the Home Secretary, Willie Whitelaw, found a traditional way to break the deadlock. Radio Norfolk's arrival in September 1980 was decided on the toss of a coin. I desperately wanted to be on the radio and worked any contacts I had. I started contributing to Keith Skipper's dinnertime show, with a weekly entertainment slot highlighting what was on and in around the county. I wheeled my way into presenting a new record releases programme, and then the Sunday breakfast show was offered to me. I was on air at 7 a.m, and being a DJ working until 1 a.m. in clubs and discos, I hadn't seen much of 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning. To be honest, I struggled to wake up. No one told me I couldn't, so I opened the phone lines and asked people to call in, not expecting anything to happen that early. Well, the switchboard lit up and I started putting calls to air and accidentally created a phenomenon called the early risers. They called in their droves and we even organised outside broadcast breakfast parties around Norfolk. The connection between the radio station and Norfolk was quickly established. Norfolk has always loved and been loyal to its local media. I moved on to mid-morning radio and created the Norfolk Airline with Neil Walker. We were pioneering a mid-morning magazine format back in 1983. Put daytime TV on now and that mix of entertainment and journalism is alive and well and now, of course, in vision. Long before the internet, which allowed stars to sit in their kitchen and be interviewed down the line, they used to tour the local radio stations in person to promote a book or a TV series. And so it was, I remember falling off a studio chair in mirth while interviewing the hilarious Mel Smith and Griff Rhys-Jones, trying to get a sensible answer from Ken Dodd, who just kept cracking gags, in awe of Andrew Sachs reliving his Fawlty Towers role of the hapless Manuel, and having Jim Pryor MP tell me he was quitting as Northern Ireland Secretary, when up to that point no one knew. We had a worldwide scoop. On reflection, the broadcasting that meant the most was during severe weather. I struggled into the studio dodging fallen trees during the gales of 1987 and opened the phone lines for listeners to share their concerns and offer help to others. The emergency services started listening to us as it helped them get a better understanding of the countywide problems. As Great Yarmouth faced a night of serious flooding at a level where loss of life was possible, I stayed on air overnight. So potentially serious was it that BBC Five Live rebroadcast our output nationally for a while. Another coastal flooding alert coincided with me being on air for my Sunday morning show back in 1993. It was all down to a dangerous mix of a seasonal high tide and strong winds. The part of Galston around the harbour entrance was at risk, and I was on air treading that careful verbal line between reassurance and causing panic. There was a possibility homes would have to be evacuated. The emergency services were knocking on doors, particularly to warn the elderly housebound residents that they had to be ready. Afterwards, I discovered via our then Yarmouth reporter, Tony Mallion, that an elderly lady reassured the policeman knocking on her door. "It's OK, I've got Radio Norfolk on, and when David Clayton tells me I've got to leave my home, I will." I was, in fact, simply repeating the emergency services instructions as we were liaising with them, but I felt humbled and privileged that we had that lady's unerring trust.
Thank you, Jane.